Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Steve Weiss.
Open your Bibles, as was mentioned, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now on the slide here on the screen that we have is a picture of a Bible. The Holy Scriptures. It has been called the Manual for Life, or God's Instruction Book. And so it is that we have this inspired of God, given to us, preserved for us, that we might be able to read and to understand for ourselves. You remember in Ephesians 3 and verse number 4, Paul said that when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Jesus Christ. And so it is, we need to read, we need to see, we need to look at what the Bible has to say. Friends, I've been out in the islands, and there in Saipan, there the Catholic Church was the strong religion. And they did not encourage their people to read or study the Bible. You need to get your religious teaching from the priest, they told them. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine, well, you know Randy Key, has preached here for you several times. His wife Debbie and he have a friend who is a Catholic. And they had been talking with her, and so one day she decided to carry her Bible to the Catholic Church with her. And as she was on her way out, the priest asked her, "Why did you bring that book?" You would think that that would be the place to bring it. But no. Friends, you and I, we have something that is so precious. You remember Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." And we need to look at this book in that way. What if you received a letter from God? You went to the mailbox there and you were looking through and there's this letter addressed to you and the return address was God in heaven. And you believed that this was indeed a letter from God. What would you do with it? Would you put it in the stack of bills that's going to wait for a week or two before you open them? But would you throw it over in the back seat somewhere or out of the way or maybe toss it into your garbage can and say, "Well, I'm just not interested in that"? No, if you received something like that, you would open it immediately before you took another step. You would be so curious, what does God want me to know? Why is He writing to me? Friends, this is God's letter to you. It gives to us God's will. How He wants us to live in this world that we might bring honor to His name. And so we don't have to guess, we don't have to say maybe, but we have a thus says the Lord. And that is the idea that we want to have as we strive to be true followers of God. Now remember this morning, we're talking about Jesus in a class period in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Jesus is our example. He came to do God's will. He came to fulfill that will even to the cost of His own life. And then in the worship service, of course, we had verses 19 through 39. And there we read about how that will also is for us. Jesus died to institute the new covenant. And so that covenant is our guide, God's will for us today. And tonight we're going to look at some faithful examples of people who followed God's will. It's interesting the way the Hebrew writer lays this out, putting Jesus there at the beginning of chapter 10. Of course, it wasn't divided in chapters back then. And then the example or the following that you and I should have of God's will. And then he gives all of these examples in chapter 11. Friends, chapter 11 was not written just as a historical record. And if that's the way you look at this chapter, then you need to change your thinking on this. Because Hebrews chapter 11 was written for our benefit. So that we could look at these faithful men and women and see their example during difficult times. How that they stood strong in following the will of God. Their hearts were true, dedicated, committed. And so you and I, we can follow their example, and that's why they're written. Recorded for our benefit. God has given this to us so that we can look at it and learn. And so when we're looking at that this morning, remember, we should not waver. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, we need to be steadfast. In verse 24, stir up your brethren for love and good works. And then in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But then, now in chapter 11, we have 21 examples of men and women who were faithful, who obeyed God from their heart in doing the will of God. And we are challenged to do the very same thing here tonight. We won't have time to go in depth in each one of these. As a matter of fact, each one deserves a complete study in and of itself. But we're going to look at some of them briefly and then draw some conclusions at the end of the lesson. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, there's a verse that's familiar to most all of us, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, that's part of what we're talking about right here in this chapter, that we are to be the faithful of God. God desires that from each and every one of us, that we be that person that He can depend on. You remember Jesus asked, when the Lord returns, will He find faith upon the earth? Will He find faith in McMinnville? Couldn't find it in Sodom, except Lot, his wife, and the children. God seeks that. God is looking for the faithful. As you and I, we need to consider that as we apply ourselves to Christianity. As we seek to please our Father. Hebrews 11 and verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here's a definition of faith. That we can understand that, wait a minute, I've never seen Jesus. But do I believe in Jesus? Oh yes. I've never seen God. Do I believe in God? Yes. I did not see the men who wrote the Bible. Do I believe they wrote the Bible? Absolutely. Friends, that's faith. But faith is not a leap in the dark. You may have heard some say that. Well, it's just a leap in the dark. That's all it is. No. Faith is based upon evidence. Faith is based upon truth. And so you and I, our faith is not some belief that just came into our brain one day and we said, oh, that's from God. No. But indeed, it comes from the very Word of God. It is the evidence, not just some guess. But the evidence of things hoped for, the substance. Friends, when we think about things that we can trust in. You know, we've had the storms and some people had worked all their lives and lived in the same place for all that time. And in just a few moments, the tornado took that house away. I remember in Saipan, I was sitting in the office there at the church building one day, and it sounded like King Kong was knocking on the door. Lo and behold, an earthquake was coming. And friends, I was so used to trusting in this rock that I walked on. But when that old rock begins to shake and move under your feet, you learn right quick, hey, you can't trust in that. You cannot put your salvation in that. Friends, there's something better. There is a substance that cannot be moved. That, of course, is Jesus Christ. The solid foundation that you and I have that we can trust in, we can stand upon. And remember, those things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 18. You and I, we need to consider that and know, wait a minute, the things that I see, this old world is going to come to an end. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9 and following, it says that it's going to be destroyed. It's going to pass away with a great noise. And so what do we trust in? God is the only thing. God is the one that we must put our trust in if we want to have that eternal life with Him in heaven. Now look at verse number 8 just a moment. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Now, can you imagine in your mind just a moment, Abraham coming home to Sarai, Abram at that time, and saying, dear, pack your bags. We're moving. Oh, are we? Where are we moving to? I don't know. What? I don't know. But we got to go. Pack your bags. Well, wait a minute. We need to talk about this. No, pack up. We're moving. Don't you think that might have been an interesting conversation? But friends, think about it. That's what she did. And she kept moving, kept going with him in all of the travels that God told him to go on. They went. Well, that's faith. He didn't see where he was going. Sarah didn't see where they were going. But God said, go. So we got to go. And so we see that idea being put forth. Look at verse number 10. Here the Bible says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Friends, don't raise your hands or answer, but how many of you have seen that city that is waiting on the other side? Friends, we trust it. We believe in it. We're looking forward to going there one day. But friends, that's faith. Abraham, he had never seen heaven before, but he was looking for that city. He was just a pilgrim and sojourner here in this land. And he was looking for something better. He knew it was going to be better. Friends, isn't that a hope? In this world, we have pains and ache. We have arthritis and cancer and various ailments that afflict these old bodies. We have struggles and trials in our faith and in our families and different problems that come up. And so, aren't we looking for that place where there's no hospitals, no doctor's appointments to keep? That place where we can rest eternally knowing that we do not have an appointment at the funeral home. I'm looking forward to that great day. And so how about you? Are you looking forward to that day as well? Abraham was, and he is called the father of the faithful. True faith is alive, and it wants to obey God's will. We saw that in Abraham. But look at verse number 7 here. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Think in your mind for a moment now. Noah and his sons may be helping him build this ark. And he'd been working on this ark for maybe 50, 60 years. And, he's taking care of other things and their families. And his sons come to him and said, Father, how do you know it's going to rain? He could not say, well, I checked the Farmer's Almanac. Couldn't say that. Well, I turned on CNN and I saw the weather report there. And no, he couldn't say any of those things. All he could say, God said it's going to rain. Now get back to building the ark. Can you imagine? The faith of this man to build a huge boat like that and to keep working and working day after day after day and still preaching to the people there who needed to hear it and having no success, how easy it would have been to give up. Enough of this. No, I'm not going to do this anymore. But he didn't. He did all that the Lord commanded him. In chapter 6 and chapter 7, it says that of Genesis. And he and his family were spared from the flood that destroyed all other human beings. Faith that came from his heart. He had the heart to keep working and keep doing what God asked him to do. So you and I, we need to look at that. Look at verse number 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and though he being dead still speaks. Through it, he being dead still speaks. Friends, think about the testimonies that have withstood time. How many people have been forgotten? How many have never had anything remembered about them at all, so to speak? But here, this man Abel still speaks from the very beginning of creation unto us today because he was faithful. He obeyed what God said for him to do. On the other hand, Cain, in contrast to that, did not do it the way God said to do. His was not according to faith. But we have that contrast remembered. You think God forgot it? Oh, we know He didn't. God did not forget that, but God still has us remembering it today. He recorded it in this great book. As you and I, we need to look at that example. In verse number 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Friends, what greater testimony could ever be given? What testimony would be given about you by God? We know about Job, you know, when Satan appeared before God there and God asked, have you considered my servant Job? Wasn't that marvelous? To have a testimony like that. And then, of course, the greatest testimony of all, when the voice spoke there in Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What testimony? Well, Enoch had that testimony. He pleased God. What about us? Would we have a similar testimony? May it be so. Someone says, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I cannot. Friends, Enoch was not perfect. He wasn't. David was not perfect. Moses was not perfect. Paul was not perfect. They were just faithful. They strove to do what God wanted them to do. They desired to please the Father by obeying His will. And so you and I, we see faith defined here in these passages. What kind of faith? Now I want you to know faith demonstrated. Not only does the Bible define it for us, but it demonstrates in verse number 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Friends, that's faith. That comes from the heart. Now we know that Sarah laughed at one time, but you remember what God asked at that time? Is anything too hard for the Lord? We know that nothing is too hard. And so Sarah here is mentioned in this book. But I want you to know that she's not mentioned for something miraculous. She was 90 years old, 89, when she conceived this child. But friends, because she believed God, she welcomed Abraham into her arms, and together they conceived this child. Abraham being 100 years old, he himself being as good as dead, the Bible says. Friends, because of faith, they came together. Faith working in their lives brought forth that child called Isaac. And through him, our Lord was brought into this world, through his lineage. Friends, think about that, how powerful faith was working in their lives and how powerful faith can work in our lives if we will allow it to do so. In verse 17 through 19 of Hebrews chapter 11, look with me there, please. In verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. On the one hand, you've got the promise of God, "Through Isaac shall your seed be called. I will bless all nations through your son, Isaac." That was the promise that God gave to him. But now, on the other hand, you got this command of God, "Kill Isaac." Genesis chapter 22. How can you reconcile the two? Don't you imagine that in Abraham's mind, oh man, it just can't work. And so how can we... I'm just going to sit at home and pray about this and maybe something will change. No, in Genesis 22, it says that Abraham rose up early and went, carried all that he needed to accomplish what God said for him to do. Now, see, the thing was, Abraham did not confuse the promise with the command. Too many times in this world, we may get confused about what God promises and what He commands. Friends, the promise is not our part. The command, that's our part. The promise is God's part. And Abraham understood this, that if Abraham obeyed the command of God, that God would take care of the promise. And so there was no conflict. In the world today, you'll hear religious people talking about this kind of thing and saying, "Well, I know that Jesus commanded to be baptized, that their sins would be washed away, but I just don't see how it could be true." Well, friends, that's not our part. We don't have to understand how it could be true. We just believe what God said about it. That when we're lowered in that watery grave of baptism, that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins, that we rise up a new creation. That's God's part, to make us a new creation, to do the washing. Our part is to obey the command to be baptized. And so that's what we strive to do. Abraham did this very thing. And so we strive to emulate Abraham in this ideal in following out, demonstrating our faith. In verse 24 and 25, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." They said, "No." Now think about what he was giving up just a moment, okay? He was giving up a life in the palace of the king. He was giving up the finest clothes of all of Egypt. He was giving up the finest food that could ever be eaten in the world at that time. He was giving up all of the servants, the men servants and the maid servants, and the authority that he had, being raised up in the household of Pharaoh. He gave up life as he knew it. He gave up the passing pleasures of sin in order to suffer with the children of God. Isn't that amazing? Faith demonstrated. Jesus put it this way, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What in the world would we... What is keeping us from following God with a true heart? What's standing in our way? Is it worth it? Well, friends, we see from Moses, he was willing to give up everything that he had in this life in order to be a follower of the Most High God. And so faith being demonstrated right here in this chapter. But then not only that, also there we see faith that makes a difference. Now, friends, all of these that we have seen have made a difference because of their faith. But let us look at a few more here. In verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. You imagine that first time that they were told about this, or Joshua out there explaining to them, now we're going to march around the city one time on this day, and then the next day we're going to march around again, and next day and the third, fourth, fifth, we're going to keep marching. On the seventh day now, we're going to march around it 7 times. We're going to be silent until we finish that 7th time, and then we're going to shout. Guess what? The walls are going to fall down. You reckon some of his soldiers laughed at him? I don't think so. Because many of these were still... No, I'm wrong about that. They were not the ones who crossed the Red Sea, remember? We got a different generation now. Because that generation would not go in and take the land, 20 years old and older, they all perished in the wilderness. But now, all of these, he says, you go and you march around the city. Can you imagine on that 5th day, and you know, it's hot out here, Joshua. And we're doing this marching around here, and we're just marching. And, you know, those folks standing on the wall up there, they just laughing at us. They just mocking at us. They throwing a stone every now and then, you know, shooting an arrow our direction. Don't you know that they just thought that we're fools for doing this? On that 7th day, and you're marching, you get that 5th march in, you're getting a little weary, you know, because it's a pretty good march. Well, we take a rest, Joshua. Oh no, we got to keep going. On that 7th time, the walls came tumbling down. The children sing that song. The walls came tumbling down. Faith that made a difference. And so it was, they were able to go in and take that city and the next cities, and after that, of course, Ai was a stumbling block there for them. But friends, faith made the difference. In verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. Friends, she was a citizen of that place. And it was treason for her to protect those spies. But she was willing to do it. Even at the possibility of losing her own life. She wound up saving her life. God worked it so that her and her family were spared. And guess what? She's also in the lineage of our Savior Jesus Christ. Faith. Faith. Here was a Gentile woman who changed her life, who changed her way of thinking, who changed because of faith. And now she is recorded in this chapter of the faithful. That's amazing to me. So we drop on down here in verses 32 down through verse 38. Look at this carefully. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You think about Daniel in the lion's den? Truly amazing. Verse 34, quench the violence of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Became valiant in battle. Turned to fight, to flight, the armies of the aliens. You think about Gideon? 300 men chasing that whole army across the valley. Amazing. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Now remember, she was a Gentile. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials and mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Remember, God inspired this to be written. And He said, the world was not worthy of them. Friends, I love that testimony. I desire God to feel that way about me. I desire God to feel that way about my children. I desire God to feel that way about every member of the family of the Forest Park Church of Christ. Friends, we have to work at it. God does not open up your head and pour in faith. It doesn't work that way. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is the way that God has given to us, that we might indeed believe the things that He says. Now here we have all of these witnesses being written down for us, recorded in God's book, so that we can indeed have that, so that we might believe. That we can trust, that we can know that this is what God wants from us. You and I have been given the opportunity to see faith's greatest degree, the ultimate extent. Friends, I want you to look at it just a moment. Here in verse 39 and 40, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Think about that for a moment. Remember, Abraham, he was sojourning, he was looking for a city. He was a pilgrim, and where's the promise? I'm looking, Lord, where's it at? You think about the others, Moses, who did not get to go into the land of Canaan, and yet he remained faithful. We think about the examples here that are listed in chapter 11. They did not know the story of Jesus. They did not have the gospel written down for them by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They did not have the testimony, the eyewitness testimony of Peter, of James, of Paul. They did not have the new covenant. How much greater are you and I blessed today? Because of what God has given to us. Because of the blessings that you and I enjoy today. Why is that? Because of these faithful men who stood strong, who remained steadfast. Now look at verse 40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Friends, when you think about it, in the eyes of God, when He looks down upon this congregation here at McMinnville and He sees the faithful and true hearts that are here, He counts you with all of these we have read here in chapter 11. They're not made perfect apart from us, but friends, we are together with them, the family of God. That God has made a way. Hebrews 9 and verse 15, the blood of Jesus not only comes forward to us today, but it also went back to them who were faithful in the Old Testament times. And so it is that we are part of that group, the chosen of God. What a blessing it is. Now, you and I have it better, though. You and I, we have the gospel of Jesus. Jesus' death upon the cross that we can trust in, that we can follow after. But friends, as we bring this lesson to a close, look at chapter 12 and verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Is there anyone here who has been injured physically because you took a stand for righteousness? We may have been spoken about, you know, and people falsely accuse us, or some people who are not students of God's Word, and they may talk about you behind your back, but we have not been beaten, we have not been stoned, we have not been crucified, we have not resisted to blood. God has blessed us in so many great ways. In chapter 12 and verse number 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Friends, their faithfulness is an example for us. When they stood fast, Abraham not knowing where he was going, or Moses turning away from the palace and all that went with it, or the worldly things that were there attracting him to follow the world, or those who were sown in too for their testimony of Jesus, I should say of God. We have this great cloud of witnesses. Verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. We have these great examples, but Jesus is the ultimate example. Faith carried to its greatest degree is seen in Jesus, who pleased His Father in all things, who never sinned. But He died on the cross to fulfill the will of God, so that you and I might enjoy the benefits of the new covenant, that we might become the children of God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 is one of my favorite passages. That God loves us so very much that we might be called the children of God. Oh, how beautiful those words are. Friends, look at verse number 2 there again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And remember, faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. Well, I got that backwards, but you know what I mean. We're looking for a home. A city whose builder and maker is God. We're looking in faith. But we've got to have a true heart. We've got to stand where these people stood. We've got to live the way these people lived. And we've got to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ if we want to go to heaven. Coming to church on Sunday and sitting in the pews will not get you to heaven. Now friends, it's part of being a Christian, but it is certainly not the totality of it. We've got to be a people who are serving God because we desire to. We are committed to doing it. Satan wants to stop you from doing it. Friends, don't let him. Don't let him. Look what it says. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, our example, our older brother, Jesus Christ, he stayed faithful. He was strong. He was committed even to the point of death. And you and I are called to walk in His steps. He has sat down at the right hand of God. And you and I, we want to go and be with God. And so in order to accomplish that, we must follow Jesus Christ. He is the one who came from heaven to live in this world. And He is the one who has ascended back into heaven. And the day is coming when He will come again to receive His own. And so we must continue looking to Jesus each and every day until we see those clouds rolled back and Jesus coming with His mighty angels to welcome us home. What are you looking for? Our young people are sometimes thinking about the next big hit movie that's coming out or some concert that's coming to town. Or what are you excited about in your life? As you grow older, your tastes change and you look forward to different things. But what is the greatest thing you are looking forward to? Friends, these people were looking for that heavenly home. And when your eyes are set on that, your heart is given. Friends, when Jesus comes again, it's going to be a day of rejoicing. But if you're half-hearted, if you're really not centered, if you're not keeping your eyes on Jesus, He's going to come at a time that we do not expect Him. Friends, there's going to be a lot of surprised people on that day. I don't want you to be one of them. This letter was written for you, that you might see, that you might learn, that you might be able to follow the example of these faithful men and women. That's God's call for us today. Are you ready to follow? Are you ready to follow with all of your heart? And Jesus is ready to receive. Believing that He is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing His name before others, and being baptized to rise up and walk in that new life. Are you ready for that today? Or maybe Satan has ensnared you. Friends, he only has the power that you give to him. If you choose Jesus, Satan cannot hold you back. Oh, we have that victory.